Amen. How many of you love hearing stories like that? You know, a lot of times when we think about testimonies, we think about big stories, right? Somebody got healed, somebody got saved, somebody got radically delivered from drug addiction. But you know, more often than not, the stories are those subtle things, man, that just mean the difference between heaven and hell, life and eternity. And it's just good to be reminded that even if you don't have that big testimony or you don't see that happening, it doesn't mean that God isn't moving. And so that's why I love Vision Sunday. And here in a moment, you're going to receive one of these books. I'm actually going to go ahead and cut the ushers loose here. This is our annual report. And I remember back in early March of 2020. Yeah, earlier than the other thing that happened in March of 2020. My wife, Christine, and I, we had literally just become members of Bridge City Church. For the decade before that, we had been church planters and working within a network of planting churches that, you know, over the course of time became a very large network, planting almost 100 churches in 23 different states. And that very large network, as quickly as it grew, collapsed and fell to the ground, and we were in this transitional phase. And Pastor Rick, who's always been a spiritual father to me, basically since 2012, I knew where we were going to go to church after we resigned from the last church that we had planted. And I remember walking in that first Sunday of March, because I think it was literally the next Sunday or the Sunday after that that the world shut down. But that first Sunday of March, I walked in to the church where I'd been attending since September of 2019 and had been a member for about a month, and they handed me my annual report. Now, you have to understand, I oversaw a network of almost 100 churches, almost $10 million of revenue, and in none of our churches had there been this level of financial transparency and celebrating of what God has done. And so I want to encourage you to thumb through this because there's so much good information in here. Just one of my favorite is there's testimonies. The colognes that you just heard from, their story is in there. We have one from each campus. And one of my favorites is here on page 10, our very own Jasmine Shogun. Come on, somebody. I want you to read all of them, but I really want you to look at that one, because that's one you can see that person face to face. And I've been reliably informed that she will autograph your copy of the annual report for a small donation to her upcoming mission trips. Amen. But here are testimonies, different things, because you know what? The Bible talks about when we become believers, we walk in the light as He is in the light. And so as a church, we walk in the light. And there's tons of numbers, amazing pictures. I dare you to find yourself in a picture. And if you can't find yourself in a picture, let's make sure you stick around enough and get involved enough that you're in the next annual report. Amen. Now, if you're somebody that doesn't like to be in pictures, like our very own Cheryl, we're going to send the photographer for you. And we're going to have about 10 pictures of you, embarrassing ones, like my high school picture that was so graciously brought out not too long ago. But you'll see here some of the amazing things that God has done. First, on page 4 and 5, we have our baptisms and our salvations. And you see the total church number there, because remember, we're one church in 4 locations. 94 people were water baptized, took their next step with Jesus by being water baptized. And 8 of those people were here at North Braddock. On page 5, you'll see the salvations. And this is the only metric that really counts, that really matters at the end of the day, because it represents souls who have crossed the bridge from death to life. And you'll see that in our church last year, 2024, 119 people crossed the bridge from death to life, became born again followers of Jesus. 17 of them were here. And I want to celebrate that number, because this is the first year since I've been campus pastor, which will be 5 years in June, that we've hit double digits, and I'm believing we can double that number by the end of 2025. But I want to I want you to look there at White Oak, man. White Oak, it's our largest numerical campus of the four, but 62. Man, 62 people. And this isn't in the number. 9 just last Sunday, people came to know Jesus as the forgiver of their past and the leader to their future. And just because it wasn't at our campus, it's at our church. We should celebrate that. And so we see these amazing numbers, and I just can't celebrate enough what God has been doing at our church and at our campus. You look over on page 6, and you'll see our attendance there. 685, that was our average attendance last year. And we've been hovering at or around that 700 number for about 4 or 5 years now. And I'm believing we're going to break that number this year. And as you heard from Pastor Rick, it's going to start with Resurrection Sunday. It can start this Sunday. I'm happy with that. But we're going to be making a big push for Easter with our extravaganza. You heard Pastor Rick mention that. That's our big Easter outreach. And it's going to be taking place on Saturday, April the 12th, here. The event is from 11 to 1, but we're looking for volunteers that are going to be here from 8 till we're done cleaning up, around 2 or 3, so that we can see people in our community come and enjoy a great event. And maybe, just maybe, like the Colognes, get connected to a life-giving church where they can find purpose. We had around 300. I felt like I remembered it was more than 300. My wife, who's one of the main point people for this event, she thinks it's under 300. I'm believing for 400 at our Easter extravaganza this year, because we're already getting donations. We're going to give away gifts, have an egg hunt, have games, all of this fun stuff. And that's all going to be leading up to April 20th, Sunday, April 20th, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, where I'm believing that we are going to have 250 people in this building celebrating Jesus and the resurrection. And I'm believing out of that 250, we're going to see a tithe, 25, 10% come to know Jesus for the first time. And so that means, like Pastor Rick said, that's going to take all of us to do praying, inviting, serving. And so I'm so excited for Easter. And I want you to look at the campus breakdown there. We had 146 average attendance. And man, I am just so excited about that, because you know what? Our campus grew from 2023 to 2024 by 14%. And that was 19 of those became new members of the church. And so, man, thank you so much for coming and sticking around and hopefully inviting your friends and your coworkers and your neighbors and the people you hate. Nothing will help you deal with the people you hate like introducing them to Jesus. I swear. So, man, what an amazing thing. And if you're interested in what it means to become a member here, like you heard the Colognes mention, and, you know, then next Sunday and the Sunday after, typically it's the first and second Sunday of every month, we have our Bridge City 101. And that's how you can learn more about the church, learn more about your spiritual gifts, how God's wired you to make a difference, not just in the church, but in the world. Because remember, Pastor Rick, he said, the world is waiting for the church. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 19, says, creation groans and waits with eager expectation, awaiting for the sons of God, basically the family of faith, Christians, to be revealed. The world is waiting for us to show up and start pushing back against what the devil has done in the earth. And we're going to do that this year and every year until Jesus comes back. And if anybody's ever been anywhere, many hands make light the work. And so attendance isn't just so we can pat ourselves in the back and say, wow, we got a bunch of people in the room, right? Because there's three different types of growth. And I've experienced all three in my personal life and in church life. But we want to build muscle. We want to see strength, because many hands make light the work. And then over on page 20, you'll see our whole church giving there on page 20. And that's one of those big, You don't got to wonder. We break it down. You see where every penny is going. And like Pastor Rick said, we believe in tithing. So we challenge everybody to tithe. And you've heard me say this, and you'll probably hear me say it again. Getting to that 10% of your income, the tithe, that's not even giving. That's just not robbing God. Right? God says when we don't tithe, we're robbing him. But when we hit that 10% and then go above it, we're now entering into giving. But whatever you give, remember, God's not going to send a lightning bolt on you because you don't tithe, but he will withhold blessing from your life. He will withhold blessing from our lives. And I want to see people more blessed. And the Bible says it's more blessed to give. And so you can see there. And as a church, we tithe. And so on page 19, and I don't want you to get these numbers confused, but on page 19, you'll see our missions and community. So you'll see all of our intentional direct outreach efforts that we are sowing into. And so there's $218,699 went out from this church to mission initiatives. Now, I know some of you are like, well, wait a second. First, why didn't somebody just give a dollar to make it a nice even 700? At least that's what I'm thinking. Part of me wants to reach into my pocket right now because some kind of OCD is kicking in. But nevertheless, you'll say, well, wait a second. If my math's right, 218 is a little bit less than 10% of 2,308,359. And again, could somebody just give a dollar? My gosh. But the number, the tithe for the income number, you'll actually find it underneath the expense. There's a heading there called Missions and Outreach, and it's 271,442. And the reason why those numbers are different is because in the income of the church, there's counted a little over $50,000 that came in from people for the mission trips that they went on. So when you go on a mission trip here, your money comes through the church, right? So everyone's not trying to, because some of y'all would fly on airlines, you'd never make it to the mission field. I'm just saying. So the money goes in through the church, so that counts as income, but then it goes right out to your trip. And so that's where the difference is there. But when you look at the missions and community, you'll also notice a line that says mission trips. It's about the third or fourth one down, and it says 24,586, because that's money from the church that we help to offset costs for people who really want to go on the mission field but might be struggling. And so there's an opportunity. There's actually a whole process you can go through that if you're interested in being on one of the many mission trips, which you're going to be hearing about next month, we're going to have people coming and sharing about all the different mission trips that are coming up. And you're like, man, things are a little bit tight. There's a process where you can apply for funding and support there. Because it's not just 10% of our money that we also want to see go out. We want to see 10% of our people go out into the mission field. And last year, 10%, we had, I think, 69, if I'm not mistaken, 69 people from Bridge City Church went out onto the mission field in one way, shape, or form, whether it's Buffalo, Guatemala, Honduras, Liberia, so many different places. Actually, our very own Pastor Ben, the campus pastor from Brighton Heights, he's in Liberia right now, serving at a Roar school there. So keep him lifted up in prayer if you would as well. And so we see the giving and everything, and I want you to hear my heart on this, because this is something that's exciting, but it makes me scratch my head, and it's like an indicator for me. So if Burger King sold more burgers than they did the year before but made less money, there would be, you would be like, wait a second, there's an issue there, right? Yeah. Well, our attendance increased by 14%, but our giving dropped by 3%. Now, this isn't to lambaste anybody, but that's just to tell us as a church, right? We talked about being fit and healthy. We need to build our generosity muscle. It's a muscle. Giving is a muscle. And so we need to build that. Because here's the thing, and I wrote this down, this is something God put on my heart. The degree of our increase will be determined by the degree of our output. And that's as a church, but also in your own personal life. The degree of your increase will be determined by the degree of your output. Now, you might be at a place in life where you're comfortable and it's like, I'm cool. But what if God wants to take you to another level? And the way that God always walks us into places where he can trust us with more resources, time, treasure, talent, relationships, all of these different things, it's because he sees us being trustworthy with the resources he's already given us, right? I'll give you an example. If you've got a studio apartment and you don't keep it clean and you just don't pay your rent on time, not because you can't, but because you don't want it or anything like that, you shouldn't believe that God's going to give you a 5-bedroom home. Because the Bible says you have to be faithful with the little, and when you do that, he gives you much more. And I want to tell you something. There is a capacity of giving and receiving in this house that we have not yet touched. I'm not talking about name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, believe it, receive it. I'm talking about what the Bible says, because here's what the Bible says. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever you sow, you reap. And so we got to remember that when we live generous, when we sow generously, when we give of our time, when we give of our treasure, we give of our talents, our abilities, right? When we give of those things generously, God won't be mocked. You're going to reap back from that. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And I want you to think about what you've been reaping in your life lately. Have you been reaping maximum peace, maximum joy, maximum stability, maximum comfort, heck, maximum resources, right? If you can say yes to that, then let me challenge you and say, I bet you God will bless you with more if you increase your generosity muscle. Or if you're looking at your life and you're saying, man, you know, the ends never meet. I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul. I'm stressed. I'm down. I'm this, I'm that, all of these other things. Then I want to challenge you to give your way out of the hole by saying, I'm going to faithfully support financially, but not just that. I'm going to get in a group. I'm going to share my life with other people. You know, there's a lot of people in this room that you don't know yet that can benefit from you. I'm telling you, man. I'm going to share my abilities by joining a team. I'm going to get on a team. I'm going to put my gifts in action, not just so that I can be blessed, but I want to see God's house grow. I want to see the church expand. I want to see people's lives get changed. And so I want to encourage you, because I believe that there is a harvest for us of life change and of souls and of increase for our campus and our community. Before I cut you loose here, I just wanted to share something that's on my heart, because usually during these times like this, it's when you hear specific vision for the campus that you're in right now. And as I prayed and I processed, it wasn't that I lack vision. I never lack vision. It's just that I feel like the vision is so big and still not concrete enough yet to be able to articulate it in a way where you can grab it and run with it. Because in the book of Habakkuk, it says to write the vision down and make it plain so that somebody can run with it. And if you've been here in the past, you've heard, man, we're gonna get a brand new nursery, and guess what? We did it. We're going to increase our kids' ministry. Guess what? We did it. And all of those things, like you heard her talking about holding the babies. I don't know if you noticed, but we got babies all over the place up in this place. Because I've noticed that when you pray for God to increase the attendance, he just might send you babies. You ever notice that? You pray for more money, he gives you more hours at work. Come on, somebody. Yeah. But we're going to do all of that. But the vision that I have for where we're not just going as a campus, but I believe that this pertains to the church, and I haven't materialized it yet, but this is what's in my heart. It's so much bigger than we can possibly imagine or see right now. And so the vision isn't for a specific thing, and I want to let you know, just last week, we got the estimates, the numbers on the renovation project that we wanted it to do out of the One Vision campaign. And you can look in your book there and see the final results for the One Vision campaign. And, you know, we're believing God to make updates to this building. And I'm excited about that. But then I look at the numbers, and they're not much higher than I thought. But when you get like a report, it can hit you, right? Like if you're sick, you go to the doctor, and then the doctor actually puts a name or something to it. You're like, dang, I'm really sick. But it's not that I feel grief or care or concern. I feel great hope. It's just I know that the vision isn't, okay, we need to raise X more amount of dollars. But really, the vision for 2025 for Bridge City North Braddock is this. We need an increased level of commitment. We need an increased level of commitment. Because when we're committed, when we're really all in, when our hand is to the plow, you know what? There is no such thing as an unreasonable request. And I want to let you know something. Jesus makes unreasonable requests of our lives because he has unreasonable, awe-inspiring results when we give it. And so I want to leave you with this thought from the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is 4 chapters, and it's a very short read. It's something that if you really disciplined yourself, you probably could and should read it through in a whole setting. It's a great testimony of God's faithfulness in circumstances that would dictate otherwise. But in the book of Ruth, the book begins and ends with a contrast in commitment. A contrast in commitment. Because in Ruth chapter 1, we see where Ruth, obviously a main character in the book that bears her name, is attaching herself to Naomi. If you know the story, Naomi and her family, her husband and 2 sons, they left Bethlehem, which is where they're from. That's a significant town in the Bible, if you haven't heard. Because there was a famine, and so they escape the famine and they go to a foreign land called Moab. But while in Moab, Naomi's 2 sons both find wives. One marries Ruth, one marries another young lady named Orpah, which is where Oprah Winfrey got her name from. But then Naomi's husband dies, and then both of her sons die, and Naomi is left not just a widow, but sonless, which means you are basically, you're done. Because in that culture, you needed a husband or a son to care for you and provide for you. And so she hears that the famine has left Bethlehem, which is funny because Bethlehem literally means the house of bread. She hears that bread is back in the house of bread, and she decides to go home, and Orpah and Ruth say, oh, well, we'll go with you. And there's a whole lot of backstory that I could give there, and I don't have time for it, but it's really amazing. But this is where we hear that Ruth says, man, I'm going with you. And Naomi's like, no, go back to your country. Orpah's going back. There's nothing for you with me. But Ruth says something amazing. She says, in verse 16 of chapter 1, she says, where you go, I'll go. And where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will become my people, and your God will be my God. And so a lot of times we think that Ruth connected herself to Naomi. But I want to challenge you this morning when we talk about commitment. Ruth didn't just connect herself to a person. She connected herself to a place, to a people, and to a God. And see, the amazing thing was, Ruth had no certainty of what she was going to find in a foreign land. because she herself is a widow. She has no one to care for her. But Ruth isn't thinking about herself. She's not thinking about the future. She's just like Mary when she poured the alabaster jar of perfume on Jesus, was thinking about what God was doing in the moment and said, no matter what, I am going to commit myself not just to a person, but to a place, to a people, and to a God. And if you know the outcome of the story, Ruth gets there and things are kind of grim and she starts having to beg in a field, get just a little enough for her to eat. But it was in this field that she begged that she stumbled upon a man named Boaz, who was a kinsman redeemer. The Jewish term used because in their culture, like if a husband dies, the nearest living male family member had a responsibility to provide an heir and to provide care for that widow's family. Now, Ruth doesn't know anything about this because she's a Moabitess. She just says, I need to do something to care for Naomi, and I'm going to do whatever it takes. So she goes out into a field, which would have been very dangerous in those days because it was a really bad time in Israel. Young ladies were getting kidnapped and raped in the middle of fields while they were out there. But Ruth doesn't care. She says, I'm going to do something. And because even though she didn't know what she was doing, but she took steps of faith and commitment to a place and to a people and to a God, God blessed her with not only giving her a husband, Boaz, but a husband who owned the field that she begged in, who then said, not only am I going to take you in to be my wife, but everything I have is yours. And so because Ruth was willing to commit herself to a place and to a people and to a God, she wound up owning the field that she started off begging in. And that's what happens when we commit. We don't have to know all the answers sometimes. I'd love to be able to give you details, but the details would either scare you or you wouldn't be able to process it. But what I'm going to challenge you to do today is to process and say, have I found a place and a people and a God that I can commit myself to? Because like I said, the end of the book, the fourth chapter, has a contradictory form of commitment. Because it's in the fourth chapter where we see Boaz going through the legal process of taking Ruth as his wife. Because he wasn't the nearest, closest kinsman redeemer. He wasn't the closest relative. There was somebody closer that had the right to not only redeem Ruth, but all that Ruth's family would have possessed. So Boaz, because he's a shrewd businessman, he goes and he says to this nearest redeemer, funny, we never learn his name. He's just a nameless gray face in the course of human history, which is a sad statement for anybody's life. And so he goes and he says, hey, yo, check it out, fam. This is the Pastor John Urban colloquialized version, if you're wondering. Yo, check it out, fam. This field that belongs to Naomi's family needs to be redeemed, and I was gonna redeem it, but you've got the right of first refusal because you're the closest relative. And homeboy, because he's a businessman too, he's like, yo, check it out, bet. I'll redeem the field. But then Boaz, because he's shrewd, he says, but when you redeem the field, you gotta take Ruth the Moabitess as your wife. And that's when old boy's like, ah. And he utters what I believe to be one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Ruth chapter 4, verse 6. He gives the reason why he turns down this opportunity. He says, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair or spoil my own inheritance. See, and the reason why that's sad on a surface level is because anytime we're willing to put my comfort, my things, my stuff, my life, my opinions, anything like that ahead of what God is clearly doing in the earth, we are a selfish people. But on a deeper level, the reason why this is so sad, such a sad verse in the Bible, is because what old No Name didn't understand was that he wasn't just refusing the right to get a field and marry a woman, he was refusing the right to become a part of the greatest family line in the history of the universe. Because when Boaz marries Ruth, they have a baby, and their baby has a baby, and that baby has a baby, and that baby's name is David, the king of Israel. And if you follow through biblical history at all, you know that David was the one that God spoke to and promised that there will always be one of your descendants sitting on the throne. The anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ will come from your line. This guy had an opportunity to buy Apple and Amazon and Bitcoin at pennies on a share. And he said, no, I don't want to do it because it will affect me negatively in the now. See, and that's the competing sides of commitment. Because there's no such way as halfway. In this place, you will have the space and the opportunity to decide how much you do want to commit or how much you don't want to commit. But understand, at the end of the day, you're either going to choose to commit or you're going to choose to not commit to a place and to a people and to a God. See, this guy had an opportunity to have his name remembered and recognized in the most famous book that has ever been on planet Earth, because it's connected to the most famous family line that has ever been on the planet Earth, and a family line that actually produced an offspring a thousand years later that would be Jesus the Christ. So my question for you this Vision Sunday morning is, will you commit to a place, to a people, and to a God? Because this place exists because the God deems that it exists. And this God deems that this place has a purpose, and it has been fulfilled for almost 43 years, and everything in me will ensure that it will at least last another 43. But if you just want to fly, that's cool, man. We love you. But understand this. Playing halfway in the jungle makes you bad breath on a hyena. And there will come a time in your life where you have to say, whom then will you serve? The God of the universe? The people he's anointed and appointed? And the place where he's appointed it for it to happen? Or are you just gonna say, nah, fam, I don't wanna mess up the thing that I got going on now? Because where we're going, oh, if I could tell you, I would, but it's too good to articulate. But if you would just say this morning, you know what? I'm gonna put my hand in. Or you know what, maybe I'm not ready to put my hand in, but I'll come back. Then I'll maybe decide to come back again, and maybe I'll join a group, join a team, whatever the case may be, check out BC101. However it is, there's plenty of ways to start growing in your commitment. But understand this, Bridge City Church, North Braddock, 2025, the goal that God has for us is going to require us to commit like never before. Because there's nothing worth doing that isn't worth fighting for. And the time to fight is now. There are thousands of family like the Colognes that drive up and down these streets and live in these neighborhoods and all over the city of Pittsburgh, hundreds of thousands, who need to connect with the God of the universe through the people that God has appointed in the place where God has appointed them to be. And I want to thank you for your commitment to being here this morning. I want to thank you to your commitment to making the numbers in this book become a reality. You did this. You did this. And even if you weren't a big part, you know what? Jesus tells a parable where some people work all day, some people only work an hour, and people work in between, but all of them get the same payment at the end of the day. So I want to thank you for your commitment of making 2024 an amazing year at Bridge City Church. But here's what I want to say today. 2024 is gone. What story are we going to write this year and beyond? By connecting ourselves to a place and a people and a God to see heaven get bigger and hell get smaller, all for the glory of Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me to your feet? I honestly didn't intend to go longer than 10 minutes, and I have far shot past that. But I pray that you caught something today. I pray that you caught something today, because you know what? Your blessing is attached to what you commit yourself to. Your increase is determined by your output, and your outcomes are determined by your investment. And I believe that this is a great place to make an investment and to give our best output. Because like Pastor Rick says, the church is the only organization in the earth that can help people cross from death to life and wrestle with matters of eternity and connect them to the one true God. And if you're here this morning and you say, I want to be a part of life change, then you are in the right place with the right people, because we serve the one true God, Jesus Christ, and we are going to see his mission go forward until he comes back. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people here this morning. I thank you for the commitment that it took them, even if this was their first Sunday, to just get out of bed, get in their car, drive here, drive around the crazy cones because of the hole out. And man, what a bad first impression, God. But you know what? They didn't drive on by and say, I don't go in that raggedy place. They came in here this morning and they committed their time to sit and hear not just what you're doing, but what you want to do, not just in the earth, but in their life individually. And Father, I pray in the same way that Ruth committed herself to a place and to a people and to you, that she found the husband that she didn't even know she wanted. She began to own the field she used to beg in, and she got her name in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. God, I pray such a blessing over each and every person right now, that you would awaken in them the desire to say, I want to be a part of that. And so, Lord, I bless them right now in Jesus' name.